You are now listening to the Q&E Podcast.
Is this what you want? Huh? Is this what you want? Well, come and get it, goddammit!
What's up, everybody? You are listening to the Q&E Podcast. You are here with your boy Q Hicks right now. And I got Edgar on the other line. Edgar, tell people what's good.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Q&E Podcast. Today, we are reviewing Hawkeye episodes 1 and 2. If you haven't watched them yet, they came out the day before Thanksgiving, this past Wednesday. And it was a little underwhelming as far as me and Quincy are concerned. It didn't really live up to the hype so far, but we got a lot of theories coming for y'all on how this show can get exciting as it moves forward. So granted, Hawkeye may not be the most popular character, but there are a lot of characters stemming from this show that you might find interesting.
And this is the problem with Hawkeye, man. I think this show will get better because I think this won't be the worst show Disney Plus has released. I would still give that to Falcon and the Winter Soldier because that plot was all over the place. I think this would be better than that, but it won't be better than WandaVision and Loki, so it will be in between the two. But the fact they're making him a sidekick of his own show is where I'm kind of like, what are we doing here, bro? What are we doing? I thought this was going to be Hawkeye's time to actually be in front of the camera because he was already a background character in all of the other Avengers series. He was a sidekick for real. Like, we didn't respect that nigga. Nobody respected him for real. He was in the corner with Natasha for real. So the fact that he's a side character of his own show, it's just like, I don't like that. I understand that y'all trying to give Kate Bishop her flowers. Y'all trying to move on with that Young Avengers title. I get it. But give Clint Barton his flowers first. Let's see him build up his resume and let's get some more respect for him before we moving on with Kate Bishop. This is Kate Bishop's show, I understand, but we need to give Clint Barton his flowers first, man. This is ridiculous.
And I think the reason people were much more attached to Natasha Romanoff's Black Widow is because although she was in the cut with Clint most of the time, because they didn't have superpowers or anything like that, she had such strong relationships with everybody.
And she was a leader for real.
Yeah, she had a strong relationship with Tony that you got to see in Iron Man 2 when she first got introduced. And then you see throughout all the Captain America shit, her and Steve really had that like best friend bond throughout all of the MCU phase 2 and 3. And then once she died, that definitely tugged a lot of heartstrings because she was with us along the entire way. So I feel Natasha Romanoff's character was just so much more attractable just because she had relationships with the big people, as to where with Clint, he was always in the cut. And they brought that up in the show, too. I think Kate actually
brought
it up.
You gotta work on your marketing.
Like, yeah, you gotta work on your marketing, bro. Like, you're not that. I know you may not want to be liked, but the reason people may not know you or not like you or think you're not that important is because you don't put yourself out there. Like, whether you're purposely doing it or unintentionally doing it, like, you try to be as unseen as possible.
And at this moment, Kate Bishop's character isn't as interesting as Clint. I feel like we could have got way better episodes if Clint Barton was the center of it and not Kate Bishop. Like, what did Kate do? She was just running around. She was around with the auction, and then she just had beef with her mom's fiance. It was like, it wasn't too much, you know what I'm saying? Before we got to the Ronin situation, when she put on the Ronin mask, it's like, then we started getting more interesting. But I feel like we would have had more interesting storyline if we started off with Clint. Let's dive into Clint before we break off into Kate. That should have been the dynamic here, bro, because you give us Kate. Y'all show us how she ends up falling in love with Hawkeye. We see how she was a part of the 2012 first Avengers battle with the Jatari. We see what happened with their house. And that's one thing I did love about this episode. They gave us like a flashback of that. I just talked about that in Eternals. I would love to see a show where they talked about like the perspective of just regular people in the MCU. We need to see that because I know this lifestyle is wild, especially in New York City. All the battles happen in New York City and they never talk about the damage. Do they have insurance in these cities? This is the conversation we really need to know. We're regular people. We need to know these facts. We really need to know that. But I like that. That background, that flashback.
We need Avengers insurance, Hulk insurance. Like, Hulk needs his own separate insurance as is. So I definitely agree. Like, we need more of a citizen's perspective when it comes to these Avengers threats and situations. They could do a mini series on that, a quick five, six minute series or whatever.
Y'all making a show on everybody at this point. Y'all can make this one.
But
on the blip too.
I would say the biggest takeaways for me from the show so far from episode one and two, I'm just excited to see what Swordsman does. And I think Swordsman is going to be from what's his name? He was Armand's the mom, the guy who the mom is dating.
Eleanor.
I can't remember his
Jack DeCane.
Jack. Mm-hmm. He's going to be playing Swordsman later down the line. That's the villain that he'll turn into.
That's why he was doing the fencing with the girl. Yeah.
And he collects swords and all that type of stuff. So big hints to, hey, your villain is about to be the Swordsman. And he's been keeping a lot of secrets from Eleanor as well that Kate pointed out in the show. He's not telling you everything. He clearly is way more skilled than he's making you believe. So I'm interested to see where that goes. And I'm interested to see how many enemies Clint Barton has made with this Ronin figure. Last time we saw Ronin for real was Infinity War. Endgame, actually, when they were getting everybody back to go back in time to go against Thanos. Mm-hmm. And all you saw was that quick action scene of him in Japan. And he was killing, Japanese mafia and whatnot. So now all of your skeletons are coming out the closet with Kate putting on this costume. So how many enemies does the Ronin have at this point? I think that's the biggest question.
And I felt like Eleanor is keeping some secrets too, because what happened to the dad in that first scene? We see that Eleanor was talking to Kate. She said, go and get your chess pieces. I'm going to go downstairs and give your dad some food. We see that the whole Jatari and Avengers fight goes on. The house starts to collapse. And we see that Eleanor ends up rescuing Kate, and they end up running out the house. She's asking, where's dad? I don't think the dad was killed by the fight. I felt like when she went downstairs, she must have killed him. For some reason, she must have killed him, because we already seen a disconnect in that first argument with him. It was already a disconnect. So it was just like, okay, that's how we're entering into this relationship. I felt like she had something to do with his death. And she can honestly blame it on the Avengers fight and just as collateral damage. But I felt like she has something to do with it. I don't know why at this point. I feel like we'll get the reasoning in this show. But I feel like she has something to do with it, because it was weird why you never told her how he died or why he died. I felt like that was weird. I felt like he could have saved himself.
And do you think it's weird that she turned into this snobby rich lady out of nowhere? Like, was that just me, or did anybody else feel like...
Was she always like that?
I don't think so. I think in the beginning of the first episode, when you see like her arguing with her dad, like, yeah, they were arguing or whatever, but she didn't give me rich, snobby white lady. Like, she didn't give me that. Like, not even in the second episode, later into the first episode and all of the second episode, like, she was talking about, we got to go to this charity event for poor people. And, I had to get off the phone with the president of your school. I gotta pay for the clock tower that you destroyed and all. I'm like, when did she make this 180 into this rich snobby lady? Like, I don't know. I felt like that's weird too.
I felt like it had something to do. I felt like that relationship was always, or that was always in her, and that's probably why Kate didn't like her, and that's why she always called her dad in when Kate was going through stuff. And that's why in that first scene, that's why she was told to go up, or that's why the dad was told to go upstairs and comfort Kate or whatever. I felt like her and her dad were way more grounded, while she was way more snobby. That's maybe her background. And maybe the dad was sitting on some money, and that's why he was killed, because she can maybe get some money from some insurance, and that's maybe how she became even more snobby, because she came up on some money from her dad. I don't know what the dad did, though. Maybe he did something in tech, because they already had a big ass house. So maybe they were already rich before. So that's what I was saying about that situation.
I think her mom, Eleanor, she owns a security company or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But was it always that? Or was he the one? Because his last name is Bishop.
Oh, they inherited it. I think that's what it was. They inherited it.
From his death. That's what I think he was the one with the money, and she wanted to come up on the money. That's why she killed him, and she can blame it on, oh, it's the Avengers. He was collateral damage, but he could have saved himself, bro. I feel like he could have got from downstairs, because how did she get from downstairs to upstairs to save Kate? Mm-hmm. He could have did that himself too.
with no damage to her whatsoever.
That's what I'm saying. Like, something is going on. Foul play. She killed that nigga, maybe for some money, maybe for something more than that. But I think we'll get into that moving down with this series. What else happened in episode? Let's go through episode one real quick. We got that Bishop attends a charity auction gala with her mother, Eleanor, and learns that she's engaged to Jack Duquesne. You already talked about Jack a little bit, but how did you feel about that whole auction sequence and her actually picking up the Ronin suit and stuff like that?
I'm wondering how she's going to, well, not how she, but how is he going to introduce the Ronin sword? Because if you remember when the Tracksuit Mafia went in there and like tried to steal items and whatnot, he stashed away the Ronin sword while Kate got the actual costume. And I'm wondering why Clint didn't notice, like, where's my sword? Because he had a whole sword with the outfit. And he has not asked about the sword. He hasn't mentioned it at all or anything. And I think maybe, I'll say maybe in like the fourth or fifth episode, I think the sword will actually come out whenever they go up against the swordsman, who is Jack. And I think Ronan or Clint, whatever name he's going to go by that time, he's going to be like, oh shit, like, how did you get that? So that's the biggest thing, excuse me, that I have when it comes to Jack, because I want to know when he's going to let everybody know he has this.
And that would be way more fire of a storyline if he just became a full-time Ronin and Kate just took over Hawkeye. That would be way more fire because he's way more interesting as Ronin anyway. Because I remember I seen that in Endgame. I was like, this is Hawkeye who's doing this? Like, he a real nigga. Like, he ain't this nigga who in the cut. I had so much respect for that nigga when I seen that he was Ronin. If he's a full-time Ronin and she becomes Hawkeye, I would fuck with that way more than him just retiring and going off in the sunset and being with his kids. I'd rather see him be a full-time runner. I feel like that would be better. More exciting to me.
I think he has to retire, though, because if you notice, he has a hearing aid now. True. Like, from all the battles and all the fights and whatnot, he has a hearing aid now. So I doubt that he would be a full-blown ninja and you can't really hear out your right ear. Like, nah, I don't see that shit.
That boy got the hearing aid. I'm sensitive the whole time. But we've seen with that auction gala scene that the Tracksuit Mafia wanted the Avengers compound watch. Why did they want that watch? Because they didn't want the Ronin suit. They didn't want the Ronin sword. Why is the watch so important?
Well, a theory that I've seen on screenrant.com, it was talking about how the watch that wasn't on Screen Rant. It was on IGN. And it's the Avengers Compound 268 watch. And if you go back to the comics and type in Avengers pound sign 268, that comic issue is called the Kang Dynasty. And they're saying it could have a connection to Kang, although Clint nor Kate have any connection to Kang whatsoever. They're saying that that could be a subtle hint on maybe something we might see going in the direction of Kang moving forward by the end of the series. So it's in the air. It could happen. It could not happen. Maybe it's just an Easter egg that was just for cameo, you know, but I'm not sure. But that is a theory that I read.
I feel like it has more to do with Tony Stark, because we've seen with everything we've seen in the past with Spider-Man movies, even with other characters, his past always comes and messes up with people's present. And I feel like that's the situation that's going on right now, because we've seen it with Spider-Man Far From Home, Jake Gyllenhaal. He wanted the Edith glasses. I feel like it's something like that. They want that technology for a certain purpose. And maybe the Tracksuit Mafia is in cahoots with Kingpin, and that's why they want it. Maybe Kingpin wants something to do with that sort of technology to take over. I feel like it has something to do with that, more so than Kang, because like you said, they don't know anything about Kang at this point. And I feel like that Kang is high-key a little over their heads. I think Kang, especially over Hawkeye's head, I feel like it's over his head. But I feel like more attainable is Kingpin, not Kang.
I agree. That's why I was like, that's kind of an up-in-the-air theory. And if it is an Easter egg pointing towards Kang, it's just one of those cameo Easter eggs, not necessarily anything that has something to
because
do
why would, with why would they on. Want that? How would they get that to Kang anyway?
I have no idea.
But like, do they know Kang? Or is it a certain variant of Kang that they know, like Franklin Richards? Or
Nathaniel it might Richards. Be a variant. Yeah, it might be a variant.
They could be wanting to get it for as a variant. That could be what they're talking about when they talk about that as well. We see that she ends up, Kate ends up taking the Ronin suit and defeats the tracksuit mafia members while wearing it. And she escapes to her apartment after rescuing a stray dog and tracks down Armand. We see Armand throughout this first episode. He was somebody who she got was talking to. And we seen that Armand really didn't like Eleanor. It was some sort of resentment between the two. In a later scene, we seen that Eleanor and Armand were going back and forth. And Kate thought that Armand was threatening her mother. But then later in the episode, we see that Armand is dead. So what happened to Armand? I don't know who killed him. Was it Jack Duquesne? That was his uncle. Armand was his uncle. Was there a certain reason? Or was it Eleanor? Did she set something up? What do you think?
The only thing I can think of is Jack doing it. You know, like I said, all the swordsman signs are pointing
because
to him
right now.
Because
they said it was some type of sword that did it too.
Yeah, so I would say it was probably Jack.
They can blame it on Ronan because he probably did it with the Ronan sword. So he could just say it was Ronan who did it. Whoever is Ronan could get blamed with that. So it probably
and they had Kate. They had video of Kate leaving the leaving Armand's residence in the Ronin suit. So Ronin is going to get the blame, but I think they kind of predicted that once they seen the costume was taken away. Jack probably thought the Ronin costume has been taken. There's been Ronin sightings. This is the perfect time to kill Armand. And especially if they can get sightings of the Ronin character near his place. So I think Jack used it to his advantage.
I would have liked to get more information on who Armand is and what was the need to kill him. I didn't understand that at all. It just felt like he was dead. We just talked to him. It was some sort of resentment or beef between him and Eleanor, and then he's dead. Like, who was he? I think he had Homer Candy or whatever, but I don't know who he was.
They're probably going to do flashbacks on him for whatever reason.
They have to. It wouldn't make sense if we didn't get any information on who he is. Like, that's a huge question moving forward. And that whole dog situation, I feel like that dog was forced into the show. I'm going to keep it right. I know the dog only got one eye. Y'all probably think it's cute, but that shit was forced into the show. My nigga. She did not have to take that dog with her. And now he chewing up boxes, eating pizza and all that shit. Nah, that was forced. I feel like that happens in every show.
It does. You gotta have that companion, that companion animal.
Yeah, like now he's just gonna be around. Like if that nigga had a power or something, now we talking. But it's a Hawkeye, so that nigga not gonna have a power. He's just gonna be around. Bishop discovers that Armand has been murdered in his home in his corner. By that, we already talked about that. And then we see that Clint, this whole time, Clint didn't know what was going on until he actually sees the news when he comes back from dinner with his family to see that Ronan is back in the streets. And that was the end of episode one. And we see that episode two, he goes to find out who Ronan is and who is wearing the suit. And he tries to get it back because he doesn't want the secrets to come out. And he doesn't want the Ronan to be back inside of the light and be talked about once again. Because that was, 3 years ago? He was Ronan? No, it might have been longer than that because you remember it was the blip.
It's two years after the blip.
So it was actually 7 years ago. No?
For what?
7 years ago since he was last Ronin? Because it was 5 years for the blip. And then you said 2 years.
Yeah. It's 2 years after they beat Thanos is what I'm saying.
Also the blip.
Yes.
But because they didn't blip until after he was already back though.
No, he didn't leave. Like he was still there. Like after Thanos like erased half of the universe,
he didn't blip away. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't blip away. Like they're saying Hawkeye, the series Hawkeye right now is 2 years after Tony Stark just died, like with the snap.
So this would be like 3 years ago. He was wrong.
I guess. Yeah.
3 years ago.
3 years ago. Okay. Yeah.
But I wonder how long he was running. It's probably what I'm trying to say. Because was he just probably running the whole time until after the blip?
Nah, he was. He didn't start being Ronin until after Thanos' snap. So whatever time frame he did it, whether it was 2 years, 3 years, the whole 5 years.
That's what I'm saying. Like the 5 years. Like, and then you said 7 years after or 2 years after that. That's why I got the seven from the five plus two. But I don't know how long he's been the Ronin character, but. Yeah, I feel like he would have to have picked up a lot of damn enemies. Whether it's 3 years, 7 years, 5 years, he picked up some enemies, and it's way more than just this tracksuit mafia.
Yeah,
we're probably gonna see Kingpin. It's probably gonna be even more than Kingpin as well. He was killing niggas in Japan, so this nigga got enemies everywhere for real. He got enemies everywhere, so this show could honestly go on and on just with the Ronin beef. So that's why he's trying to get that intact. And then we actually see Barton and Bishop actually come together in an apartment. But how did you feel about their chemistry, Clint Barton and Kate Bishop? Do you like the back and forth between the two?
I think they're making Kate way too goofy. Like, I don't like how they're downplaying her actual skills now that she's with Hawkeye. Like, they built up the first intro, like, titles and screen and all that. They built all that up, showing that she has all these medals in karate, archery, combat skills, like, all that type of stuff, gymnastics. Like, she's an actual badass. And then when it's time for her to fight people, she's getting her ass kicked by these, like, regular gangster dudes. And I'm just like, well, damn, like, how good are you actually? And then Hawkeye just comes in and beats everybody's ass. I'm like, okay, that's cool. But ever since that moment, now it's kind of like she's on his every whim. Like, what do I do? Like, well, do I wait for you to do this? Like, and he's just pushing her to the side, just trying to hurry up and end everything. And I'm like, that's not cool. I wish they would have had
see what happened by the end of episode two. At the end of episode two, she ended up fucking shit up.
I wish they would have had them click, though, at the beginning. That's what I'm saying. Like, they had them with friction in the beginning. That's what led to her just putting her foot in and just, like, trying to do stuff on her own. And then that now we see at the end of episode two, they're both in a shithole right now because of her. But I feel if they would have clicked in the beginning, shit would have went smoother.
And how do you... What was the situation with the cop? The cop ended up calling Kate when she was at her mother's workplace. She was at the security place, and she ended up getting called in for something. But you seen Duquesne in the background, like, looking at her take the phone call. I feel like there has to be a connection between Duquesne and the cops, and he knows that she's Ronin. I feel like there has to be a connection between all three. That's why he was looking like that when she was on the phone. Like, okay, everything's in motion. She's getting talked about with the cops. She has to talk to the cops. They're going to get more information on who she is and what she's hiding and why she wasn't there that time. Maybe that's more information for him to actually know that she was Ronin, and he can pin the murder on her.
That's true. I didn't think about that. I didn't even peek that he was watching her on the phone.
He was
in the background.
Remember, he was about to go on the elevator. He was about to go on the elevator, and he was watching her on the phone.
Damn. That's crazy. I seen it, but I didn't pay attention to it like that. That's a good point. I ain't peeked that.
Yeah, bro. So I feel like he has a connection to that because she wasn't at her house. So that honestly is a good ass question. But I feel like he has something to do with it, though. And that's why he was looking at her that way. Moving forward,
and the fact that she didn't do a good job at sounding concerned that her house got burned up. She was like, oh yeah, I know about that. And he's like, you don't sound like that's upsetting you at all.
Yeah, and it looked like she was in a shithole, honestly. I know it had like a two-story to it, but it didn't look like a nice apartment at all.
Yeah, so I'm like, and she said she inherited that too, so I'm like, well, couldn't you inherit something a lot nicer? Like, you're...
You have money. I wonder if her mom just controls all the money for this point. That has to be the
She canceled all her credit cards, because remember when she broke the clock, she was like, I'm canceling all your credit cards, this, that, and third. I'm like, well, damn. Like...
And we usually don't get that perspective, bro, of like the rich. And her mom ended up saying it, like, you can't be rich and think you can't get touched, or something that her mom said. What was that her mom had ended up saying?
She said, you're not invincible, and you're not just because you're rich and young, that doesn't make you invincible.
Yeah. And I feel like that's tying in at this point, because I think that's how she feels. She feels invincible. And I feel like in this upcoming episode, she gonna get touched a little bit. They gonna rough her up a little bit to show her, like, hey, just because you got money, like, your mom ain't gonna save you. Honestly, your mom could be a part of why you in this situation at this moment, because I think her mom is gonna end up being a villain. And that's probably why she's with Jack. So what if her mom ends up finding out that she's Ronin and ends up going along with Jack's plan of pinning the whole murder on her? But her mom's going along with it the whole time. That could be what's going on. So her mom is going to be an op, bro. That's why she's with Jack. It got to be some sort of money play going on. Yeah, that's why they put her on.
It's some under the table shit going on. So I could see her being a villain anyway, in general. But I don't know if it'll go with her thinking that her daughter is Ronan and her going against her daughter in that way. I think it'll just be a situation of she's partnering with Jack and whatever swordsman stuff he has going on, to where it's like, if my daughter just so happens to get in the way in this shit, she's just in the way. We got to go through her.
Yeah. Because I feel like that's had to, and it might all be a money play, because I already have a feeling that she killed her husband. And that's probably why she got with Jack so quick, because Armand said it, like, it was only like 4 or 5 months before they got engaged. Like, damn, that was quick as hell. Maybe it was some communication, like, hey, like, I want to kill my uncle to take over his business. We get that money, you know what I'm saying? Like, it all could be some money play, and that's why they clicked up so fast. So, like you said, if Kate's in the way, she's in the way, but it's all a money play to continue to get more and more money. So her mom is definitely a part of this conspiracy that's going on right now. And I like that. I like that for sure. Moving forward, what did we have? Well, how did you feel about his kids in this situation? I feel like they were really like middlemen. I'm talking about Clint Barton's kids. Like, do you think he was back home for Christmas? They were just
He's not getting back home. Like, if he does go back home, that'll be a true sign that he's retiring. Like, if he sets Kate up to do what she needs to do, I think the series is going to end on Christmas Day. And I think it's because they have 5 days now until it's actually Christmas, because in the show he was supposed to have them for the whole week leading until Christmas Day, and I think the show was going to be spread out over the remaining like 5 days,
yeah, because only six episodes.
Yeah,
man, how did you feel about that whole LARPing scene? I feel like that was a waste of time to get his suit back, and he had to fight. You peep, bro, was in it, bro, from 85 South Show. You peep, that was him. Play the English.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. I knew that was him. Yeah.
I was like, bro, what? I see that nigga, and I was like, damn, that nigga got the marble bag. I'm like, okay.
That boy got the marble bag. He ain't do no promo for that shit at
that's
all.
That's what I'm
he
saying. Like, I was just like, that's a nigga from 85 Central. Yeah, but how did you feel about that LARP scene? Like, I felt like that wasted a lot of time. Like, that was a lot of filler there just to get his suit back.
It was, but I think that goes to our point of Hawkeye getting flowers, because I think that was the first time Hawkeye actually felt like I'm somebody's hero. Yeah, Kate was telling him that and whatnot, but she's somebody who literally she's trying to go down the path of doing what he's doing. And it's like, well, that's cool, but I've never had like fans, like people who are just regular everyday people, and they're like, oh, I like Hawkeye. Like, I don't want to do any of that shit, but I like Hawkeye. He finally met somebody that is like, I'll give you your suit back. You don't have to pay me. You don't have to do nothing, but give me a chance to, like, battle you, because, like, you're an actual hero to me. And you see him and the dude, like, they exchange first names, and, like, he's actually he's taking the time out to, like, really talk with him, because it's like, damn, like, I actually have somebody who looks at me as, like, an actual hero. And we've seen, they got dinner for free, too, when he was with his kids, because the head chef came out and it was like, dinner's on the house, you don't have to pay anything. And I was like, okay, so he get his flowers a little bit throughout the show.
Yeah, you were there. We didn't see you in the front, but you were there. All right. Then we get to the scene that you already brought up about the fencing duel between Kate Bishop and Duquesne. We've seen that she said that Duquesne was hiding something, but Duquesne obviously is hiding it well. And Eleanor knows what the fuck is going on. So Kate Bishop keeps trying to tell her mom, like, he's hiding something. Like, I know, bitch. I'm a part of what he's hiding. I feel like that's what's going on here. So she knows what he's hiding, some shit, obviously. But the most interesting thing about that scene is when she actually tried to find Clint, when Clint tried to find, like, the track star mafia. I felt like her just typing in like Clint's phone number and tracking him, that was real interesting to me. Like, that type of technology, a lot of people don't have like a hold of. So that's like obviously some handsy shit that will play a part moving forward.
But I think that's just because she knows the ins and outs of the security system that her mom owns. So she probably knows how to track people from the security system that they have, because she's been doing it with her phone. Like, that was like the second or third time she's done it throughout the show, like finding somebody's location, like triangulating it. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you doing all this from your phone?
That's what I'm saying. I feel like that would be a huge, you know, play moving forward. Like, nigga, I can just find you by your phone number, bitch. I got all this. I got everybody to track this shit. So that's definitely going to play a huge part. If they got to track down Echo, if they got to track down whoever they got to track down.
And how do you feel about, just to segue off the subject for a second, how do you feel about movies still not using up-to-date phones. Because if you notice, like, a lot of these phones, no, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I've never seen an iPhone used in any of these type of action movies, like in these Marvel movies or just action movies in general, bro. Like, they're like Android, like, still got buttons on it, phones and stuff like that. And I'm like, it's 2021. Like, why else
had a BlackBerry?
Like, or if it is touchscreen, it's like a, is anything but a Samsung or an iPhone. Like, you'll
it's
see
like a
any
pair,
other
like
type
from
of
iCarly or some shit.
Yeah, and I'm like, damn, like, is Apple that stingy with their branding? Like, you can't, like,
you gotta,
bro,
give us a bag if you want to use an iPhone.
It's 2021, bro. Like, everybody has iPhones. Like, I'd much rather see Kate on her iPhone doing that security shit than on a phone that you look like you got from Metro PCS for like $65. Like, come on, bro.
They probably plan that as just a regular tracker, and maybe that's not even a phone. Because you remember they gave her like a Clint ended up giving her like a burner phone or something like that. So maybe that wasn't even her phone that she was typing on. Maybe that was just some sort of tracker, and that's how she tracked Armand.
And I thought about that too. I'm like, maybe they use those type of phones because that low grade of technology isn't as traceable as the phones that we have now. So there's always that, but it's like, yeah, come on, like, you never have an up-to-date phone on you. Like, come on. And the phone that that Steve Rogers gave Tony at the end of Civil War and whatnot, when it was that flip phone and shit. I'm like,
yeah.
What the fuck? They still make those? Like, what? I don't know. I just need more up-to-date shit.
And they probably played that because he don't know anything else. So, like, if you gave Captain Rogers or Steve Rogers of an iPhone, how is he transitioning with that? from like the 20s, like, this nigga old. He was, when he was born, technology wasn't even around. Like, we probably don't know what to do with an iPhone. I don't know. I'm just shooting them niggas some bail, but I definitely see what you're saying though. And by the end of episode 2, we see that she tracked down Clint Barton's locations, but she ends up getting captured. She ends up getting captured, but we see that Clint was trying to figure out who was the head of the Trackstar Mafia. He wanted to talk to them. But what was the reason? I forgot what the reason was though.
I think he was trying to I think he was trying to come up with a deal or something between the leader and see something that could end the feud over there, because he told Kate they're gonna keep coming after you until you're either dead or they get who they're trying to get. And I don't think he's told her yet that is him. Like, does Kate actually
knows? Like, why do you want this suit?
Like, but it's like, she hasn't asked yet. She hasn't said, like, why do you want this suit? Why is this suit so important to you? And Clint has never said to her yet that I'm the Ronin. Like, I feel like that's probably going to happen in episode 3. He's going to, like, let her know, look, the suit doesn't just belong to me. Like, I actually am the Ronin.
I think she knows. I feel like she would know if the dude wants the suit. Like, Common sense would say, like, nigga, you was the Ronin. That's why. and you're saying that you want to hide from other people. They're gonna keep coming after you because they know that that the Ronin is involved in all of this beef with all of these other people. I think she knows that he was the Ronin. You know what I'm saying?
I will hope so.
Exactly. Like, you ain't getting yourself in harm's way not knowing that this nigga's a Ronin. Like, she has to know something. But we see that we get teased with Echo by the end of this episode. Echo is somebody who was kind of like Taskmaster. Whoever she sees, whatever power that they, not really powers, but whatever motion they do in combat, she can do exactly the same thing. So she's one of those characters. Hopefully she's better than Taskmaster, because Taskmaster was whack as fuck. It wasn't used right. So hopefully she's better than that. And we see like some sort of combat. But bring up the theory you brought up to me before the episode.
With Echo?
Yeah.
All right here.
That was an interesting part. Because I don't know if she'll be a good person by the end of this show or if she's going to be bad and actually working with Trackstar Mafia.
So it says, Echo is after Clint under the belief that he killed her father. The theory is that the show feature Echo's first arc in Daredevil, but with the circumstances changed so that Hawkeye is the one framed for killing her dad. So if you guys don't know, it's stemming from the fact that her father's killing was by Daredevil in the comics, but in this show, they're going to switch it to where it's Hawkeye who did it instead. And she's going to target Hawkeye in this new Disney Plus series. And then it says here at the end, with the Yelena also out to get Clint, it's believable that he may have another potential hit on him, and Echo will eventually team up with Yelena and Kate. And the only reason I say and Kate at the end of that is because there was another theory in this list of theories that I have from Screen Rant that says Yelena and Kate have a chance to team up and be the new version of Black Widow and Hawkeye. So if there is a situation where Yelena and Kate end up merging closer to the end of this show, if they could somehow convince Echo to realize that Hawkeye didn't kill her dad and she ends up teaming up with them, that could be a dangerous trio. You got Kate Bishop, the next Hawkeye. You got Yelena, the Black Widow, the next Black Widow, technically. And then you got Echo, who can basically be Taskmaster 2.0.
That would be so fire if they did that Yelena Belova and Kate Bishop shit. That would be fire. But I don't know how it would come together so quickly, being that she still has alliances with Val and the Dark Avengers. I feel like we would have to see her with the Dark Avengers first before she actually comes and be like a good person with the real Avengers. I feel like that would be fire like down the line, but I don't know if it will come together like this show. Like maybe down the line we see them, but that would be fire because I feel like their chemistry would be good. Like some Kate Bishop, but she's not as goofy. Kate Bishop is way goofier than Natasha, but I think their chemistry would still work with her and Yelena. Yeah. And when it came to Echo, I think it's going to be the same thing with the Kingpin as well. Like Kingpin is really a daredevil villain, and Echo is the same way as a daredevil villain, but they're going to spin both of those characters to be Hawkeye villains just for this show because we don't know when Daredevil will come into the MCU. I'm hearing rumors that he could come in Spider-Man that we could hear or could see Matt Murdock, but I think they're going to spin it just for this show that we could see them and potentially see them down the line as well.
And with that Spider-Man, it just has me thinking of that picture where it says our Spider-Man No Way Home expectations, and it has like every single Marvel character in the background.
Legit, bro. We don't know who's gonna come out of that bitch.
We expected every answer to all of these other issues to be answered in Spider-Man.
Nice. Hey, Mutant's been a come from the bitch too. Everybody better come from that bitch, dog. And I was just talking, just the segue into something else, because we done talking about Hawkeye. I think that was the end of episode 2 at that point. Any theories for episode 3?
For episode 3 specifically, I think we'll get a deeper look into Jack becoming the swordsman, and we'll actually find out Eleanor's true intentions. I think those will be the two biggest things that happen in episode 3.
Yeah. I will agree with that. But the segue into what I was talking about with the X-Men, I brought this up on the pod as well, of when the X-Men will come into the MCU, because that's still a huge question. The Marvel got the rights of the Fox X-Men like a few years ago, a couple of years ago. We still haven't heard any X-Men titles other than the X-Men 97 cartoon that is supposed to be coming out in the upcoming future. But is that going to delay the X-Men coming into the MCU? That's what I'm worried about, because I don't know if they will have X-Men actually playing the X-Men 97 series and actually running the X-Men in live action at the same time. Is that going to prolong it from coming? And that would be unfortunate, because I want to see the X-Men now. I want to see the things now. If they're going to go, maybe it's like some X-Men versus some Avengers shit that we could see. That could be how they come into the MCU. We know that my boy Magneto don't like regular humans anyway. He only wants the world to be filled with mutants. Maybe that's his intentions. Maybe that's how he can come into the MCU. I feel like that should be the play. Like, what are we waiting on? We want to see X-Men, bro.
I don't know how the hell they're going to bring X-Men in, because they are taking a minute. And I think when they came out with all of those titles for all of the shows, all of the movies coming up over the next couple of years, there's no X-Men like included at all. So that might have been pushed back to phase 5, bro, because they even had to push back some of the movies for phase 4. Like Black Panther was supposed to come out July of 2022. It has to come out November of 2022. Doctor Strange is supposed to come out in March of 2022. We got to wait until damn near the summertime in May. So a lot of these movies have been pushed back now. So phase 4 in total is getting a pushback with a lot of these dates. So we might not get X-Men at least a hint at X-Men anyway until maybe 2023, 2024, like around time Guardians of the Galaxy and all those other movies start coming out.
And maybe we see like a hint of X-Men in one of these shows, like Secret Wars, maybe Secret Invasion. We can see a hint at X-Men because we already know that Wanda is a mutant. And we know that in the comics, Wanda is a huge part of mutants coming into the MCU. So we already have the main component already in the MCU. I feel like she can still be a part of bringing them in once again. So maybe like after the Doctor Strange movie, we get a hint of like X-Men. I think that's when we're going to see it, bro. I think that's when we're going to see the other X-Men. Because in the House of M storyline in the comics, she was the daughter of Magneto, and she was somebody who said no more mutants and all. There were no more mutants on the rest of the Earth. And I feel like she's going to do the opposite. She's going to bring mutants into the MCU or make them more visible to the rest of the world. Something like that is going to happen with Wanda. But you have the main component that can bring the mutants back in.
I agree. That sounds better than waiting until 2023. So if they give some type of hint at that in Doctor Strange 2, I wouldn't be mad at it. I just wouldn't be surprised at the same time if we have to wait until like a whole nother year from now.
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't be surprised, but that's honestly what they're going to do, because it's going to be so much shit happening in Doctor Strange. Like, you're going to add X-Men to that too. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah. Or add mutants to that. That's a lot, bro, because you already going to have Mordo. You're going to have like the destruction of the multiverse coming into a head. Because it's going to be like the continuation of Spider-Man. So it's going to be like, damn, we got to deal with all these people.
We're going to get Agatha hints. We're going to get
we got to deal with all that shit. It's like, god damn, X-Men going to be here too. Like,
oh, we might finally see White Vision again, like, since we have not seen him or heard him, like, since WandaVision came out earlier this year. We might actually see White Vision again. Like, it's going to be a lot of shit.
It's going to be a lot of shit in Doctor Strange too, bro. And it's crazy because Doctor Strange 2, they talk about it's even more ambitious than Spider-Man, the No Way Home. So, and it's going to be way more shit happening too, bro. This shit going to be crazy. I feel like Spider-Man is going to be way more nostalgic for a lot of fans. But that Doctor Strange might be the movie where we say that's the best movie I've ever seen. It might be that. For real, for real. But anything else on Hawkeye or the rest of the Marvel Universe?
No, that's it. I'm just hoping it gets a lot more interesting. The first two episodes were definitely dry. If I had to rate both of them 1 out of 10, I'd say episode 1 and 2 both get like a 6.5, maybe a 7.
Yeah, it was solid, man. But I think they will get better moving forward because Kate will start to realize and stop being so naive to a lot of shit, because she picks up on things quickly, but she doesn't understand or see the underlying tones of what's going on, especially with her mom. Like, her mom got a lot of underlying tones and sneaky shit going on with her mom that she gonna pick up. And I think that's gonna make the show way more entertaining, because it's gonna be a point where she might go head up with her mom at one point. Like, oh, you a op. Mom's a op. Like, damn, does she kill her mom? I was just about to say, maybe that's a little too far. But look, that could be a way how she becomes a Dark Avenger. This is a rogue theory, because I think she's going to be good. But this is a rogue theory. What if she kills her mom because she realizes her mom is a op? She kills Jack Duquesne too. And she becomes a Dark Avenger, and she is recruited by Val. And like you said, with that Yelena point, that's maybe how they come together, because we already know Yelena all about that killing shit. That's their connection. You killed your mom. I really didn't have a family. Let's go and fight with the Dark Avengers, and this can be our group. This can be our new family. That could be what happens. Wrong theory. Like I said, I think she'll be good, but I like that a little bit more.
It makes sense.
That a little bit more. All right, bro. You hit it with the social media.
You can follow us on Twitter at QE Podcast 1. You can follow us on Instagram at QANDE Podcast. You can follow us and like us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube at QANDE Podcast. And our Gmail is QANDEPodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, and subscribe to QANDE Media, QANDE Media, man. Subscribe to it. We got some more stuff coming out on the website, so definitely check that out. Instagram, QANDE Media, and Twitter, QE Media. We appreciate you guys for listening, and we out. Peace.